Falun Gong is freely practiced in more than 50 countries, but relentlessly persecuted in China. A peaceful courageous practitioners there have shocked their oppressors and moved the people of the world. While China continues to block information about the persecution, FGM-TV brings you the stories you may not hear anywhere else.
Hello, and welcome to this week's FGM-TV Weekly News Review on September 17, 2002. I'm David Tompkins. In this week's update from China, the number of Falun Gong practitioners verified to have died while in detention is 477, with details of 8 more deaths received this past week. However, reliable sources in China put the actual death count in the thousands. In the last 7 days, reports from persecution have come in from 14 provinces and from the cities of Beijing and Shanghai. 334 people solemnly declared their statements extracted under torture are null and void. They said they intend to continue practicing Falun Gong. Our top story this week, Falun Gong practitioners clarify the truth at a secret conference of 610 officials from Munjiang City of Heilongjiang Province. And some of our other stories, concern in Hong Kong about a soon-to-be-released report, Barbarity Inside a Forced Labor Camp. A police officer threatens to cripple a peasant child. An area 40 times the size of Hong Kong is sinking. Practitioners at the UN World Summit in Johannesburg. A special report from Albania. And disturbing news from Denmark, where the culture minister gave in to pressure from the Chinese embassy and revoked an invitation to practitioners to perform at an art program at the Asia-EU summit. The 610 office in Mudanjiang City of Heilongjiang Province held a secret conference in the mountains. This is a government agency created specifically to persecute Falun Gong. It has power over all branches of the military and of the government, including the judiciary, the military, the police, the regional and municipal governments. With wisdom, Falun Dafa practitioners found out the time and location of the secret conference. Before it started, they painted lots of bright red phrases announcing, "Falun Dafa is good," along both sides of the highways towards the mountains. They also painted attractive phrases to awaken people in nearby villages, towns, scenic spots, and detention centers. Practitioners even painted on the steep cliffs. Having been denied access to all normal means of communication, such as newspapers, magazines, radio, and TV, Falun Gong practitioners have resorted to many creative and sometimes unusual methods for clarifying the true facts of the persecution of Falun Gong to the Chinese people. Yellow Falun Dafa banners glittering on the tops of tall trees became a beautiful scene at tourist resorts. An editorial in the Sunday Morning Post in Hong Kong entitled "End the Guessing Game" expressed concern about how the SAR, Special Administrative Region, government will safeguard human rights in the future. Article 23 of the Basic Law calling on the Hong Kong administration to pass laws to protect the central government from treason, sedition, subversion, and secession has long cast a shadow over the idea of one country, two systems. By its very nature, the proposed law gives rise to concerns they will be used to restrict the freedom of expression and crack down on groups targeted by Beijing. The shadow loomed ever larger last week as it came clear that these laws are finally on the way. A government consultation paper could be released as early as next month. Secretary for Justice Elsie Lung Oizi has sought to calm fears, stressing that freedom of expression will be protected, but she has spoken of the circumstance in which some forms of expression may constitute a crime. Chaoyanggao Forced Labor Camp in Changchun City, Jilin Province, has detained more than 400 Falun Dafa practitioners. The guards force inmates to keep practitioners under surveillance and to torture them for extended periods of time. They are also forced to read materials that slander the practice of Falun Gong. The guards beat them if they refuse to do so. Since April 6, 2002, the torture has escalated. Guards shorten the terms of criminal inmates who collaborate and beat practitioners. Many times the inmates have been beaten from 3 in the morning until midnight. Practitioners have reported being summoned to the guard's office after extended periods of torture. There they are tied to the four corners of a bunk bed that has been placed in the upright position, and 7 guards assault them with all kinds of torture devices, such as bamboo boards, spades, wooden batons, and electric batons. Practitioner Zhao Jian's face was so horribly beaten that it was swollen beyond recognition. He could not wear shoes, and he could not walk because his feet were so badly swollen. Practitioner Wang Gaoqing was beaten for the entire morning, and his clothes were torn to shreds. Half naked, he had to walk before the squad with a placard of derogatory names hanging around his neck. Wang Tianming, another practitioner, was beaten with an electric baton from his neck to his feet. A police officer threatens to cripple a peasant couple's young only son. Wang Wenhua, a 48-year-old peasant living in Huangniuchang Village, Yangshao County, was detained from January to April 2002. After ransacking his home, the police even arrested his daughter, who had recently been married. They held a hunger strike in protest, and they were released 6 days later. Yang stayed at home for only one night. The local police went to his home the next day to arrest him. But while he was changing his clothes, he escaped by jumping out of the window. When the police chief couldn't find him, he kicked Yang's wife, knocking her to the ground. He then said he would make their only son a cripple if she didn't go out and find him. He also threatened their one-year-old granddaughter. Yang's wife took her children and went into the mountains, afraid of bringing trouble to whoever was kind enough to provide shelter for them. Yang went to an uninhabited mountain 10 miles from his home, and he could go no further. After the brutality he had experienced in more than 6 periods of illegal detention, he gradually lost consciousness and passed away on the hillside. When his body was discovered on April 17th, he was lying with his hands folded in front of his chest. His eyes were wide open and staring at the sky. The county's 610 office and the police department ordered a hasty cremation. Then, together with the village office, they announced that they would arrest any practitioner who went to his funeral. According to an official report, the North China Plateau, one of the country's most populated areas, is forming the largest underground funnel in the world due to excessive use of groundwater. The report was cited in the Apple Daily News, a mainland Chinese newspaper. The funnel area is expanding and has reached over 40,000 square kilometers, or 40 times the size of Hong Kong. The area faces the threat of sinking, endangering the life and property of millions of residents. Many mid-sized cities, such as Tianjin, Kangzhou, and Dezhou, are located at the center of the funnel. According to hydrology experts, Hubei Province has always overused groundwater to make up for a severe shortage in the water supply. With the present section reaching 50,000 square kilometers, the North China Plateau is the largest sinking area in China. Now to South Africa. From August 26th to September 4th, 2002, the United Nations World Summit on Sustainable Development was held in Johannesburg. Over 45,000 representatives from many non-government organizations and governments from 140 countries attended it. Falun Gong practitioners from South Africa, Australia, Singapore, and Lesotho participated, clarifying the facts about the persecution and introducing Falun Dafa. Many representatives visited the photo exhibition. They were all shocked to learn about the brutality of the persecution of Falun Gong. They expressed their support. Some representatives also came to learn the exercises. Many media interviewed the practitioners, including CNN, BBC, South Africa radio station and TV station, and ETV. And now, every country in Europe has been introduced to Falun Dafa. The last country is Albania. And with us, we have Erkanda Bujari, who has just returned from her trip where she visited with a number of practitioners. Erkanda, welcome.
Hi, David.
What was your purpose in traveling to Albania?
Oh, being the first practitioner from Albania, I knew, I always knew that it would be on me to introduce Albanians to this great cultivation way. So I had been planning this trip for some time. With the suggestion of some Toronto practitioners, I sent an invitation to the practitioners in Europe to ask them if anyone would be willing to join me on this trip. And sure enough, a group of practitioners in the UK were making their own arrangements independently of my plans to go to Albania and introduce Falun Dafa in the same month I was planning. So we joined forces, and we ended up being a team of three. Myself, a practitioner from the UK, and a practitioner from Slovakia who had just finished a trip of several Balkan countries. So the purpose of this trip was mainly first to introduce and sensitize the Albanian general public, government officials, media, and human rights groups about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, and also to introduce Albanians to the great cultivation way of Falun Dafa.
How did they receive Falun Dafa?
It's interesting to mention first that Albanians are getting to know the Eastern tradition of spirituality and meditation only recently. Though the two countries, China and Albania, had had for some time, especially during the 70s, a very tight relationship, still this was based on sharing communist ideology and dogma. And interestingly enough, the two peoples remained oblivious of the knowledge of their own cultures, of each other's cultures. And this is also due to the fact that communism does away with tradition and replaces it with communist dogma. So at the beginning, you know, not a lot of people know about Eastern spiritual traditions, but the country had just been introduced to some of the other methods like Tai Chi and also yoga. So there was a lot of enthusiasm, especially among the young people, to do the exercises. We managed to have three classes of exercises in the span of a week. And also a lot of people showed interest about on reading Falun Dafa's main book, John Falun. So I would say that there was a lot of interest shown in the country.
Did you find that there was any strong support for practitioners as they enter the persecution?
You don't have to explain to Albanians why and how the Chinese communist government persecutes Falun Dafa practitioners. Having been through a very stern and severe communist regime themselves, they know that everything that gives individuals independence of a communist ideology is always crushed. So, you know, as expected, we found a lot of support, you know, among general public, from the media, from the human rights groups, which, by the way, have been started to function in the country only the last 5 to 4 years. But they have a lot of experience with these issues because Albania itself has had a lot of human rights violations during communism and also during this last years of, you know, infant democracy in the country. So we found a lot of support among all these different groups of the society. The media showed a lot of support in depicting our local activities. And in fact, we did have two of the main national channels have programs on. One was a news item and the other one was a 1 hour long program entitled "What is Falun Gong? Why is it persecuted in China?" So we did find a lot of support from the different layers of the Albanian society.
That was a fascinating story. Thank you very much, Erkanda.
You're welcome. Nice to be here.
And disturbing news from Denmark, where the culture minister, Mr. Brian Nicholson, was pressured by Jiang's regime to exclude Falun Gong practitioners from an art program called Asian Comments at the 2002 Asia-Europe Summit in Copenhagen. Falun Gong practitioners were originally invited to present their art performances, which have won the community first prize at the Cavalcade Edinburgh International Festival 2002. However, the Chinese embassy threatened to pull out all Chinese community performances unless Falun Gong practitioners were excluded from Asian Comments. According to the event organizer, the Danish government officials bowed to the pressure.
Thanks for watching FGM TV, dedicated to breaking through China's information blockade, revealing propaganda, and bringing you the truth of Falun Gong.